Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of things you can do there, including subscribing to my free newsletter, which I hope you will do. Got a lot of good folks lined up for you today. The first up, we got Doug Campbell. Doug is one of our top business coach experts in the Brain Trust, and he's been with us several times before, and he helps companies and large, medium, and small to put their best foot forward, and especially working with CEOs and helping them to make sure that they have the maximum opportunity to have for their companies to be successful. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to talk to you.
It's good to have you back, as always. What's the news these days? I know you just got back from a trip to California, and you heard a lot of different people speak out there. What did you bring back from that trip? And when you respond, you can tell the audience what you were doing there. But tell us what you learned at that venue that would be good for small business owners to know.
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't thought of it that way, but this is kind of an encampment in the along the Russian River in the Bohemian Redwood country. And it's an annual encampment. A lot of the club members help write and put on a major play and several performances. And I guess what they've done is they have a lot of speakers from around the country that come in and speak and kind of share their expertise. And they're just, you know, top drawer. The president of Caltech, for example, spoke on viruses, that there are 1,550 strains of viruses. And he showed a slideshow of all the different strains and kind of shared exactly what the world knows about viruses and some of the big challenges that they're facing. And it really made me realize that, you know, being an expert at something is, you know, a full-time job. You've got to constantly work at it and, you know, really be totally engaged in it.
Well, what the but you heard, and I know you heard some other folks out there, but now when you're talking about being an expert, what do you recommend for small business owners? Do you recommend that we be experts in one thing, or as an owner, we have to really be experts in more than one thing, don't we?
Oh yeah, as an owner, you got to wear multiple hats. But I think over time, you know, your best strategy is to figure out, you know, what's the value of your time and what are you really good at and what do you get paid the most for, and then to basically get people to help you with the things that you don't like to do or you aren't as good at. So maybe you outsource your payroll, maybe you outsource your creative work, maybe you outsource your computer technology. You know, there are a lot of things you can outsource over time. Now, some people are, I'm really more of a generalist than a specialist because I tend to, you know, coach quite a few different types of clients. A lot of them tend to be creative clients and real estate and, you know, some startup technology companies, and they all kind of have the same issues. But I think people who do specialize and can focus very narrowly, you know, you generally get paid more.
Yeah, but they also have, and this is a very important lesson for small business owners, especially those who may be thinking about changing their business, maybe reinventing their business. They also have to be able to find, the more narrow you go, the fewer prospects you have. So you've really got to be able to focus on the people you're going to do business with, don't you?
Completely. And I think you have to, yeah, be very aware. Companies go through stages, and you've got to constantly be looking at your business model and what you're doing, and is it kind of cutting edge, particularly if you're very focused and very narrow to a certain group of customers, that you've got to stay ahead of the curve. And if you don't, you can get caught up, run over pretty quickly.
Well, that's what I worry about when small business owners are starting a business. I'll never forget an email I got a few years ago, Doug, from a young lady in South Carolina, and she identified the town she lived in, and it's a tiny little town, and she wanted to start a cigar bar. And I know you're surprised that a lady would want to start a cigar bar, but she did. And she that was her idea, was to, as you know, back when a few years ago when cigar bars were all the rage. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she wanted my advice on starting a cigar bar. And I said, well, I'm not sure that, you know, that's pretty vertical. That's pretty narrow in a tiny town. I said, you might be able to, cigar bars in New York City and Washington, D.C. have enough trouble, you know, doing business, let alone somebody in a small town.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I guess I would say make sure there are a lot of hunters around that like to smoke cigars.
Well,
rural Wisconsin.
But the thing is that, you know, I see a lot of businesses start out as sort of generalist businesses. They, you know, they cover the waterfront in their industry. And, you know, they're after a while, they say, you know, well, I need to focus on something a little bit different, a little bit more specific. What's your advice to them?
Well, I think definitely. My experience is that a lot of times if you start a business, the actual idea of the business you start is probably not where you're going to end up. It's about usually the third business idea that really hits. And so I think you have to be flexible. I mean, if you I'm working with an ad agency, for example, that's, you know, started about 10 months ago. And I think they kind of started with a broad group of clients, but now they're really focused on certain types of clients, office equipment and insurance. And it's working much better because it helps them focus on exactly the kind of clients to go after. They just got a major national contract with Rico. And it just makes it easier. And they weren't there initially. So I think you have to be constantly thinking about that.
Well, and also, in order to go from, you know, to make that journey, that evolutionary journey of your business, you've also got to be, and you've got to expect to make some mistakes, because all of these aha moments are not going to be positive. They're not going to be happy aha moments. Some of them are going to be uh-oh kind of moments, aren't they?
Oh, you're going to have, you know, you're just going to have challenges all along the way. I mean, the analogy I tend to use for people is you're going to go through hills and valleys. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you climb a hill or you get to the top of a peak and you say, oh, man, this is great. I really accomplished something, or I hit new goals, or very mm-hmm. successful. Then it's going to be a valley.
Hold on to that thought. Doug Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're going to be right back after these messages. And remember, failure, I should say, is successfully identifying what doesn't work. 20 after. Stay with us. I spent a lot of money. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Campbell. Doug, tell us about your coaching business.
Oh, well, thanks, Jim. I work with a lot of top performers and kind of serve as a board of advisors or a sounding board for them as they grow their business. One of my new clients, for example, is a guy named Ted Fishman, who wrote a book called China, Inc.
Ted is a member of our Brain Trust. He was on last week.
Is he?
Week.
Okay.
He was on the show last week.
Ted's got a great book, and we've been, I kind of met him. He was keynote speaking at a conference a friend of mine set up.
What do you do for your customers?
Well, what I help them do is work on strategy, you know, define and refine strategy, marketing and business development, and then build a team mm-hmm. to grow their business. And help them identify kind of key issues, key challenges they want to overcome, and systematically work to address those.
Give us your website, please.
TheSuccessCoach.com, TheSuccessCoach.com.
All right. We're talking about reinventing your company. And, you know, Doug, I am going to propose that our companies are always reinventing. We're always reinventing our companies, either intentionally or maybe unconsciously. We may not realize it. But I think our businesses, like we are always evolving there's always something different going on. It may be different in a bad way if we're not paying attention, or it may be different in a good way. But to me, it's not a matter of whether you're reinventing your business. It's a matter of whether you're in control of that reinvention. What do you think?
I agree. I think you should definitely be aware that you've got to reinvent your business, and it's a constant process, and you've got to constantly be looking at, I'm working with an ad agency that went from 12 to 5 people in the early 2002 period because the industry was just terrible. And so, and we had
the
to bring
worst
in
3 years from 2001 to 2004 was the worst 3 years in advertising since the Depression.
Yeah, that's about right. Although in 2004, it really started to pick up maybe in the middle of the year.
But in the three years following 9/11, that's when it was.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even before that, it was kind of soft. So, in his case, we had to actually make some changes. He had had someone who'd been there 18 years, and she just had the just wasn't excited about the business. And actually, she ended up getting a director of publications job at Yale. So it worked out great for her, brought in a new person with a lot of energy. It's been really energizing for the business. But in that case, the reinvention was downsizing and, which is obviously not what you think of as reinvention, but sometimes you got to do that too.
Well, that was a survival reinvention.
Right.
And that was one of those things where, the negative type of evolution was something that was thrust upon that company, not something that they could really help all that much. But still, it sounds like that even though it was negative, they had more control over it they did have some control over it. They made some decisions that saved the business.
Well, what he did, which, you'd have to talk to his name's Skip, but he was too slow to do this, and I was the change agent. He knew he was in trouble or he didn't feel right about things, so I helped kind of be that sounding board, helped define the strategy and execute the strategy to do it, and we got on a very solid footing very quickly, and now we're actually have grown about 10 clients in the last 6 months, so it's been very successful. But to do it on his own was difficult, and it's hard for people sometimes.
Hard part, isn't it? Because you get sort of stuck in this paradigm of the way your business should go, and when it doesn't, there's a little bit of a denial period, isn't there, initially?
Right, and back to my hills and valleys analogy, I think what you're trying to do over time is really flatten out those hills and valleys so they're kind of predictable, and you're steadily going uphill, but the valleys are pretty small. But you're going to get thrown curveballs, you're going to get thrown changeup, and you've got to respond to them.
Well, what's the best thing? What would you say is a classic first thing you should do to see this reinvention coming if it's not something that you're planning?
Well, I would say it's very valuable to probably have some kind of an annual review or retreat. I just did that with a company the other day, and step back, maybe get some outside input, maybe talk to key customers, vendors, just get a sense of how they view the business, the changes in the business. I mean, what causes you to recreate your business? Usually it's a change in competition, it's a change in the marketplace, it's a change in technology. And even if you're starting to see the seeds of that, you've got to start really thinking about, okay, how am I going to respond to this?
When 20 years ago you could have one of these kinds of meetings, one that can come to terms with this, say every 5 years or so. But now you've got to do it maybe even more than once a year, don't you?
Oh, I think so. Months is the time frame.
Yeah.
I did a program for reinventing.
20 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, I just did a program for ExecuNet on reinventing your business, and a lot of interest in this topic. I think we had 45 people around the world on it.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, give us your website again, please.
TheSuccessCoach.com, TheSuccessCoach.com, and I also have a blog, Success in Business.
Doug Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Doug. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Right back with Bill Brandt. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.